Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. We find ourselves now in difficult and challenging times. Please join us on Thursday, October 26th, the 11th of Cheshvan, to commemorate Rachel Imenu's Yahrzeit. Hear words of inspiration from Rebbetzin Peshi Neuberger, Mrs. Slavi Youngrice-Wolf, and Mrs. Chava Prell. You can find the sign-up link on the ouwomen.org Tehillim 23 webpage. May our tefillos and learning be a schus for the memory of the Kedoshim, the safe and speedy return of our captives, for the healing of our wounded, the safety of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and help to protect all those fighting on the front lines. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torah Tzimcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek Gimel. Our parak opens with Nebuchadnezzar's construction and erection of a golden statue, which he placed in the plain of Dura in Babel. After inviting all the dignitaries to its dedication, Nebuchadnezzar declared that whenever anyone would hear an assortment of musical instruments, they must bow down to the statue with a penalty of death through fiery furnace for disobeying. Is it coincidence that Nebuchadnezzar just had a dream in which he was told that a statue, whose golden head represented him, and the lower sections of the body made of different materials symbolized all subsequent kingdoms? Perhaps this was an attempt to reimagine and fantasize that his dream portrayed the Babylonians as the sole and everlasting kingdom. The Malbim cites both Sa'adja Gaon and Abarbanel as suggesting this juxtaposition of the two stories. Malbim explains that this was a form of magic at that time to actualize his aspirations of eternal control. Contrary to the interpretation of his dream, he could change the heavenly decree through building the statue and making all the nations bow down to it. There are many intertextual dialogues in this parak that bring to mind other narratives in Tanakh and Midrash. We mentioned in parak Aleph that Bavel is called Shinar at times in Daniel, and that one of the few other places we find this name is in the story of Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Babel. In that story, we also find the word Bika, translated here as plain. While our parak calls it the plain of Dura, Rabbeinu Bachaya in Pereshit Parak Yud Aleph says Shinar and Dura are the same place, fitting as both stories portray evil megalomaniacs trying to control the people. The Gemara in Psachim 94a through B also connects the two evil kings, Nimrod and Nebuchadnezzar, in the following anecdote. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "What reply did a heavenly voice give to that wicked one, whom Rashi understands as Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, 'I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High,' from Yeshayahu, Yudalad, Yudalad? A heavenly voice emerged and said to him, 'You are a wicked one, son of a wicked one, and descendant of the wicked Nimrod, who caused the entire world to rebel against me with his kingship.'" This episode also reminds us of Mordechai, with the command to bow down on penalty of death. Our heroes, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, referred to exclusively and numerous times by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, become the victims of slanderous speech by the Babylonians to Nebuchadnezzar and must suffer the consequences. Pasuk Chet tells us, "Kol kavel dna ba zimna krivu guvrin kastayin vechalu kartsehon di Yehuyadaya." In view of this, at that time, some Chaldean men approached and denounced the Jews. The Aramaic word translated as denounced is kartsehun, which is the same Aramaic word Targum Onklus uses in Vayikra Yutet Tetzain for a talebearer. In the command, "You shall not go about as a talebearer, lo telech rachil, among your people." Onklus translates, "Lo techol kartzin, you shall not bring accusation." They tell the king that the three young men from Judah are not following his command. Pasuk Yud Bet says, "There are Yehudite men whom you appointed over the affairs of the capital cities of Babel, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men did not take counsel to follow your decree, O king. They do not worship your God, and they do not prostrate themselves to the golden image that you have set up. When Nebuchadnezzar tells them he will throw them in the fiery furnace if they do not obey his command, they reply in Pasuk Yud Zayin, "Behold, there is our God whom we worship. He can save us from the burning fiery furnace, and from your hands, O king, he will save us." While this shows their tremendous emunah in Hashem, the next verse is even more profound. Pasuk Yud Chet, "And if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not worship your God, neither will we prostrate ourselves to the golden image that you have set up." This shows they are not relying on a miracle. They are fully prepared to give their lives for the honor of Hashem, Mesiras Nefesh. It is appropriate to remind the listener that we learned in Perek Aleph that these are young men without any role models locally, as most of Bnei Yisrael still resides in Eretz Yisrael at this time. As expected, Nebuchadnezzar became furious and ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal, and for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to be bound before being cast into the furnace. While the men who did the casting were killed as a result of the tremendous heat, our three heroes survived. In Pasuk Chaf Hei, Nebuchadnezzar cannot believe his eyes and calls out bewilderedly, "Behold, I see 4 free men walking in the midst of the fire, and there is no wound upon them, and the form of the fourth one is like that of an angel." Who is this fourth man walking with him in the form of an angel? Here we continue with the connections to the Tower of Babel, albeit in the Midrash, where Nimrod threatens to throw Avraham into the fiery furnace that he had established in order to make the bricks for his tower. The Gemara in Pesachim 118a tells us, "When the wicked Nimrod cast Avraham into the fiery furnace, the angel Gabriel said to the Holy One, blessed be he, 'Master of the universe, let me go down and cool the fire and save the righteous one from the fiery furnace.' Hashem said to him, 'I stand alone in my world, and he stands alone in his world. It is appropriate that the one alone on high should save the one alone down below.' But because Hashem does not withhold reward from any of his creations, he said, 'You will merit to save 3 of his descendants. Based on the above midrash, Nebuchadnezzar witnessed Gavriel saving the 3 young men. Rashi, based on Sanhedrin 95b, explains how Nebuchadnezzar could recognize an angel in our pasuk. He explains, based on his historical understanding, that Nebuchadnezzar was present when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, had besieged Jerusalem. He says, "It is like the angel I saw when I was with Sennacherib, when his armies were burned, as it is said in Malachim Bet Yud Tet Lamed Hey, 'And an angel of the Lord went forth and slew of the camp of Assyria. And Nebuchadnezzar was there and fled among the 10 who fled from them.'" Many have asked where Daniel was at this time. Surely he would have been with his friends in disobeying this order. Abarbanel suggests that the Babylonian talebearers did not see Daniel, so he was not included. He also suggests that Daniel was the fourth one in the furnace and was simply not mentioned. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 93a suggests Daniel left the country for the benefit of his friends. The sages taught 3 were partners in that plan to ensure that Daniel would not be in Babel when the decree of persecution was in effect: the Holy One, blessed be he, Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar. The Holy One, blessed be he, said, "Let Daniel go from here, so that people would not say that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were delivered from the fiery furnace due to the virtue of Daniel, rather than due to their own righteousness." As a result of this miraculous event, Nebuchadnezzar told the 3 young men to come out of the furnace and declared in Pesukim Kaf Chet through Kaf Tet, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants, who trusted him, deviated from the command of the king, and risked their lives in order not to worship or prostrate themselves to any god except to their God. Now an order is issued by me that any people, nation, or tongue that will speak amiss about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and his house shall be made a dung heap, because there is no other God who can save in this manner." Nebuchadnezzar continues to extol the Most High God, Elaha Ila'a, through the end of the parak. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are never mentioned again in the book of Daniel. What happened to them? As with the rabbinic sources we read concerning Daniel at the end of Perek Aleph, there are mixed accounts. According to Sanhedrin 93a, the Gemara asks, And with regard to the sages, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, where did they go after their miraculous deliverance, as there is no future further mention of them? Rav says they died as a result of the evil eye, as everyone was jealous of their deliverance. And Shmuel says they drowned in the spittle of the nations of the world who held the Jewish people in contempt due to their failure to serve God in an appropriate manner. And Rabbi Yochanan says they ascended to Eretz Yisrael and married women and fathered sons and daughters. While this miracle of the fiery furnace had a profound effect, however temporary, on Nebuchadnezzar and his nation, the Jewish people at that time did not seem to be impacted at all. In fact, they seemed offended at the young men's righteousness to the extent that they caused their death, according to two opinions of this Gemara. The same Gemara even chastises the people for not devoting themselves to Hashem. Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanalai says, at the moment that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah emerged from the fiery furnace, all the nations of the world came and struck the enemies of Israel, which is a euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, in the face and said to them, "You have a God with capabilities like that, and you bow to the graven image?" Immediately, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah began and said, "Lord, righteousness is yours, but we are shamefaced as of this day." From Daniel Tet Zayin. Today, we continue to mention these three young men, among others from Tanakh, whose prayers were answered, in our Slichos Tefilot, for fast days in the Yomim Noraim. Perhaps we would do well in our generation to recognize the Mesiras Nefesh of these three young men and improve our own behaviors as a result. Thank you for studying together Ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rachel Bat Aryeh, Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.